The MIT Sloan Management Review Podcast, bringing you content directly from MIT Sloan Management Review, a print and electronic publication that evaluates and reports on new management research and ideas. In the perennial tug of war between manufacturers and retailers, retailers seem to be winning, but manufacturers can benefit by understanding what type of business model a retailer emphasizes and tailoring their approaches accordingly. Rebuilding the Relationship Between Manufacturers and Retailers, written by Niraj Dewar and Jason Stornelli, excerpted here and read by Matt Robert Williams. File under Retailing. In the perennial tug of war between manufacturers and retailers, retailers seem to be winning. Just a few years ago, manufacturers had hopes of being able to manage consumer relationships and product delivery directly. But today's retail industry is more concentrated than ever. In many industries and markets, a handful of retailers account for the majority of sales. Retailers, whether they operate traditionally or electronically, have become increasingly astute at capturing consumer loyalty with effective merchandising, innovative private label offerings, and targeted pricing and rewards programs. Their ability to control market access and influence consumer buying behavior means not only that the manufacturers need retailers more than ever, but also that manufacturers need to understand what makes retailers tick and is more pressing than ever. As retailer influence has grown, power has moved downstream in a wide range of industries, including hardware, books, and consumer electronics. A prime example is the grocery industry, where global manufacturers have seen their brand clout erode in favor of consumer relationships cultivated by retailers. Manufacturers across industries rightly ascribe retailers' power to their increasing size and concentration. For example, in 2007, Walmart's sales were approximately 4.5 times greater than those of its largest supplier, Procter & Gamble. Consolidation and retailers' global scale have reduced the number of buying points that manufacturers can develop. By 2010, the 10 largest grocery retailers represented nearly 70% of U.S. sales, up from less than 30% 10 years earlier. The trade is even more concentrated within regional markets in the United States, as well as in most developed countries. Retailer scale has other consequences too. It makes private label programs viable, and it justifies the cost and effort of setting up loyalty and data mining programs. Recognizing retailers' clout, manufacturers now routinely allocate 2/3 or more of their marketing budgets to trade marketing, in-store promotions, and cooperative advertising, rather than to cultivating their own consumer relationships through media advertising and consumer promotion. Trade marketing expenditures have been growing in recent years, but neither side is happy about it. Manufacturers' attempts to influence retailer behavior have been only partially successful. They can help highlight a brand in-store or bundle it with complementary products in a custom display. But these tend to deliver tactical gains, not enduring competitive advantage. They last only until competitors outbid the promotion. Ultimately, the retailers decide how the money is spent. It is clear that manufacturers need a better strategy. Although retailers seem to have the upper hand, they are not satisfied with the current system either. Most retailers consider manufacturer trade support to be both inadequate and insufficiently strategic. They have trouble converting trade promotion into profits. Rather than building longer-term partnerships with suppliers and nurturing store and shopper loyalty, they tend to compete on price and fritter away the trade support they extract from manufacturers. Accounts of the rocky relationship between manufacturers and retailers have mostly focused on the balance of power between them, where the power resides, why money changes hands, and how the spoils are divided. However, we believe that the manufacturers have the ability to rebuild this relationship by understanding the retailer's business model. Retailers have different ways of making money, encouraging customer loyalty, building profitable private labels, relying on the financing from suppliers, or keeping overhead low, as companies such as Tesco in the United Kingdom, Loblaw in Canada, and U.S.-based Costco and Walmart have shown multiple strategies are available. But retailers tend to choose one, or in some cases, two, that they emphasize. The particular approach or mixture of approaches that retailers select defines their business model and differentiates them from competitors. Manufacturers, by contrast, have much less flexibility. They are locked into large fixed investments and wedded to products and brands with long payback cycles. Like it or not, they need to sell their products through retailers. Expectations of direct sales to consumers through the internet have not panned out for most manufacturers because many consumers like to compare products from multiple sellers. The grocery business is challenging for both manufacturers and retailers, with extremely thin margins, fierce competitions both between suppliers and between stores, and rapid change. There are incentives for retailers and manufacturers to find ways to cooperate. When manufacturers work with retailers to optimize shelf layouts, or when retailers approach manufacturers to reach specific consumer segments, they both gain by moving more volume and appealing to more consumers. Manufacturers can enhance their competitive positions by stepping back from harried relationships and intense negotiations to rethink their strategies towards retailers. We suggest that manufacturers tailor their strategies to retailers' specific business models. This segment is excerpted from Rebuilding the Relationship Between Manufacturers and Retailers, written by Niraj Dewar and Jason Stornelli, which appeared in the winter 2013 issue of MIT Sloan Management Review. To learn more or to read the full version of this article, please visit sloanreview.mit.edu.